tonight, several developing stories as we come on the air. Our exclusive tonight, inside the CDC, what they're seeing with this new variant in the U.S. right now. And tonight, Pfizer now revealing new data on its booster up against the Omicron variant, saying the booster does appear to restore protection to its highest level. Tonight, Dr. Anthony Fauci saying this new data allows him to breathe a little better. Tonight, our Dr. Jen Ashton inside the CDC, what they're seeing across the nation and what has the CDC director most concerned. Also, Dr. Jha here tonight answering your questions. If the boosters are in fact this effective against this new variant, what about children and the current timeline? Also tonight, the trial of former police officer Kim Potter now underway. Officer Potter charged with manslaughter for shooting and killing Dante Wright, who was unarmed during a traffic stop. She claims she confused her gun for her taser. Dante Wright's mother testifying about her final phone call with her son when he was stopped by the police. Tonight on Capitol Hill, the head of Instagram grilled about its effects on children, particularly young girls. So what's being done? Rachel Scott on the Hill tonight. It was a case that horrified the country. So tonight, why was convicted killer Scott Peterson back in court today? The family of Lacey Peterson watching it all again in that courtroom. Tonight here, the never-before-seen photos revealed at the trial of Ghislaine Maxwell, the photos with Jeffrey Epstein and what prosecutors are hoping these images demonstrate. Tonight, our Ian panel on the Ukraine border and 24 hours after that video call with President Biden, what Vladimir Putin is now signaling. Hillary Clinton making news tonight, something she has never done before, and she breaks down while doing it. Also tonight, Tiger Woods and the big announcement, and our Made in America Christmas. Your ideas pouring in.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Wednesday night. And we begin tonight with the major news this evening on the effectiveness of these vaccine boosters with this new Omicron variant. Tonight, Pfizer now reporting that early data suggests that the booster does bring your antibodies back up, restoring protection to its highest level. Tonight in Pfizer's new study, it did show that the new variant did chip away at the effectiveness of those two doses of the vaccine, but that after the third shot, the booster, there was a high antibody response. Health officials tonight say that's reason enough to get a booster shot now. And Dr. Fauci, for one, saying today this news makes him breathe a little easier. Tonight, our Dr. Jen Ashton with rare access inside the CDC's Emergency Operations Center, where they are tracking COVID, of course, and this new variant in the U.S. right now. And all of this as Delta continues at an alarming rate, this new surge with the colder weather here, people, of course, back indoors. More than 117,000 new cases every day now. That's up 46% in a week. New hospital admissions up more than 14% from last week. And in children, this was alarming. Hospital admissions up nearly 37%. So tonight here, several questions answered. What has the CDC director most concerned about this new variant? Dr. Jen Ashton with that. And what about these boosters and this news? They're now working. Dr. Jha on that in a moment. But we're going to begin with Whit Johnson leading us off here.
Tonight, Pfizer releasing early data suggesting two shots plus the booster appear to stand up against the new variant and could be a key tool in the fight against Omicron. Dr. Anthony Fauci saying the news makes him, quote, breathe a little better.
When you get that third shot boost, it dramatically increases the level of laboratory projected protection. This is good news about the booster protection.
Early results from Pfizer found that high levels of antibodies from a booster may better defend against Omicron. But when the standard two-dose vaccine took on the new variant, antibody levels dropped 25 times lower. Pfizer saying two doses may not stop infection, but are still likely effective in preventing severe disease.
People should go and get their third dose now, not wait.
Pfizer's data coming on the heels of a small study out of South Africa that also found Omicron appeared to chip away at two doses of the vaccine. Here in the U.S., cases of Omicron have been detected in at least 21 states. Our Dr. Jen Ashton today getting a rare look inside the CDC's war room where scientists are tracking Omicron across the country. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky showing us the many mutations.
These are all the mutations.
These are the spike protein.
Yep.
These are all the mutations.
While early signs show Omicron might be less severe than Delta, they still believe it's highly transmissible, that it spreads easily, and has them concerned about the sheer numbers.
We have some concerns about this new variant in terms of its transmissibility. We don't know what it's going to do in terms of disease severity, but even if it is not more severe, if we have many, many people who get it,
more denominator,
we have a large, right, we have a much larger denominator, and we could be in a problem with the with disease severity anyway, because there are just more people who have it.
But right now, it's the Delta variant making up nearly all new cases nationwide, an 83% increase since late October. Hospitals feeling the surge, even in highly vaccinated areas like the Northeast.
Delta is incredibly infectious. And those, 5 to 10% of the people that haven't been vaccinated, that's who Delta's going at right now.
In Massachusetts, one trauma center at UMass Memorial running out of beds.
There's 75 patients waiting in the ER for a bed, including 7 ICU patients, and there's really no end in sight, which is the scary part for all of us.
And hospitalizations in Connecticut doubling in the last month.
Right now, 100% of our patients who are admitted to the hospital at Greenwich Hospital, 100% are unvaccinated.
100% in
right
here.
Now, today. Every day, it's a little bit like going into battle, and we recognize that this is not over yet.
This current wave driven by the highly transmissible Delta variant. And tonight, Dr. Walensky warning about the impact of another highly contagious variant like Omicron.
If we have a much more transmissible variant, you end up with a much larger population of people with disease, and then even small amounts of that very large population that end up in hospital, you end up with a real crisis at the hospitalization level and potentially lots of poor outcomes.
Yeah, so even if it's less severe, still highly transmissible, which could add up in the numbers. We've seen this before. Dr. Ashton with her exclusive at the CDC today. Whit Johnson with us now live. And Whit, we know the CDC director also made news tonight, revealing what we know so far about the 40 or so cases of Omicron they've already found here in the U.S. What can you tell us?
Yeah, David, Dr. Walensky says more than 40 people in the U.S. have been infected with the Omicron variant so far. More than 3/4 of them were fully vaccinated, and about 1/3 had received booster shots. But she says so far, nearly all of those cases have been mild. David?
Mild, and that was encouraging as well. Whit Johnson tonight. Whit, thank you. We know you have a lot of questions at home, so as always, Dr. Ashish Jha, Dean of the Brown University of School of Public Health, back with us tonight, and he's back with us in person for a change, which we always like, though about 6 feet of distance still between us. First of all, you and I have talked about the antibody response several times on our air, and now Pfizer saying early data, it's early, but very encouraging that the boosters appear to spike that antibody response.
Yeah, David, thanks for having me back. It is really encouraging. The data shows that there's a sharp drop off in your antibody's ability to manage Omicron after 2 shots, but the 3rd shot really seems to make a big difference.
And not only that, I want to go back to something you told me before, that you're seeing in many cases after the booster, the antibodies could be actually at a higher level than even after the 2nd vaccine shot.
That's right. That's right. The booster really gives your immune system another really good opportunity to rev up and get ready for this virus. That's why I think boosters are so essential for every adult right now.
We know we have a lot of parents watching us here every single night, hanging on your every word. They're going to say if these boosters are working and you showed it tonight, why do we still have to wait as long before we get our child boosted?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have 3 kids who've been vaccinated. Same question in my household. First of all, we think that in the first few months after the 2nd shot, you still have high protection. We really do need more data before we're ready to start giving boosters to kids.
All right, Dr. Jha, it's always great to have you, and even better to have you in person. Thank you. We turn to the other news this Wednesday night, and testimony now underway in the trial of former Minnesota police officer Kim Potter in the death of Dante Wright during a traffic stop. After he began to struggle, Officer Potter rushing to his car, firing, claiming she mistook her handgun for her taser, her body cam there capturing it all. Dante Wright's mother, the first witness to take the stand today. ABC's Stephanie Ramos from Minneapolis tonight.
Tonight, an emotional start to the criminal trial of former police officer Kim Potter, accused in the death of 20-year-old Dante Wright. Potter, a 26-year veteran of the police department, in the courtroom today. She faces first and second degree manslaughter charges after shooting Wright in the chest last April. The defense says she mistook her taser for her gun.
Just breathe.
Katie Bryant, Wright's mother, called as the prosecution's first witness.
I wanted to protect him because that's what mothers do.
Bryant detailing the last phone call with her son as he was pulled over for an air freshener in the rearview mirror, which is illegal in Minnesota, and an expired tag.
He just sounded really nervous, but I reassured him that it would be okay.
The call abruptly ending. That mother later making a video call. A woman in the car with Wright answering the phone.
She said that they shot him. And she faced the phone towards the driver's seat. And my son was laying there. He was unresponsive and he looked dead.
Bryant rushing to the scene.
I didn't want to believe that that was my son laying there on the ground, but I could tell it was him because of his tennis shoes.
During that traffic stop, Wright struggled with officers who were attempting to apprehend him after discovering an outstanding warrant for his arrest. Potter pulling out a firearm. Realizing she had shot Wright as the car drove off.
The defense today placed the blame on Wright, saying all he had to do was stop and he'd still be here. The prosecution arguing, as a veteran of the police force, Potter should have known the difference between her taser and gun. Potter is expected to take the stand in her own defense next week. David.
All right, Stephanie Ramos from Minneapolis. Thank you, Stephanie. We turn next tonight to a story that horrified the nation. Scott Peterson was back in court today, and so was the family of Lacey Peterson, watching it all again. It was a resentencing hearing after the murder case nearly 20 years ago. Scott Peterson, you'll remember, convicted in the killing of his pregnant wife, Lacey, and their unborn son on Christmas Eve in 2002. Tonight, Peterson in court, confronted by Lacey's still grieving mother and siblings. And why was he in court? Here's Kana Whitworth.
It was a case that horrified the nation. And tonight, Scott Peterson is back in court. Long after the Christmas Eve murders of his wife, Lacey, and unborn son, Scott Peterson in court today because the California Supreme Court overturned Peterson's death sentence last year, ruling jurors in his original trial were improperly screened for bias about the death penalty. Because of that, Peterson no longer faces the death penalty. The judge today resentencing him to life in prison without parole. And Lacey Peterson's heartbroken family once again finding themselves in court with the man who killed their daughter. Lacey's mother confronting him, telling him, quote, Lacey and Connor will always be dead, and you will always be their murderer. Peterson sitting in silence. Lacey's sister in tears telling him, it makes me sick being here today in front of you again. Nearly 20 years ago, Peterson admitted to an affair, but denied the killings in an exclusive interview with Diane Sawyer.
Did you murder your wife?
No, I did not.
Tonight, Peterson's attorney maintaining his innocence and saying the judge denied his client's request to speak at the hearing.
He wanted to make it clear that there is no way he could have possibly harmed Lacey and Connor.
And David, Scott Peterson is still trying to get his conviction overturned. His lawyer is asking for a new trial, and they have a hearing for that in February. David.
All right, Kana Whitworth with us tonight as well. Kana, thank you. Meantime, tonight on Capitol Hill, the head of Instagram grilled about its effects on children, particularly young girls. So what's being done and how soon? Rachel Scott on the Hill tonight.
Tonight, the head of Instagram appearing before Congress for the first time, defending the popular social media app from blistering bipartisan criticism that Instagram is toxic for children, especially young girls.
How do you square a business model that prioritizes user time and engagement with knowing there's a direct correlation between time and harm?
Senator, respectfully, using our platform more will increase any effect, whether it's positive or negative. But if people don't feel good about the time that they spend on our platform, that's something I personally take seriously.
Adam Mosseri pointing to outside research showing more teens use TikTok and YouTube. And today, introducing a new safety net hours before that hearing, telling lawmakers the company will take more steps to protect children, including prompts to suggest users take a break and other parental controls. But senators say the damage has already been done.
Instagram is addicted.
Senator, respectfully, I don't believe the research suggests that our products are addictive.
Many of those claims directly contradict a whistleblower who came forward weeks ago, accusing the company of choosing profit over safety. And as for those new parental controls, those will not be added to Instagram until March. David?
All right, Rachel Scott tonight. Thank you, Rachel. Next, to the sex trafficking trial of Ghislaine Maxwell, jurors seeing new images of Maxwell with Jeffrey Epstein, prosecutors arguing they appear to be a happy couple, attempting to portray them as partners in crime. A third accuser also taking the stand using the pseudonym Carolyn, claiming she was just 14 when she first went to Epstein's home and that Maxwell scheduled some of her explicit massages with Epstein. On one or two occasions, Maxwell allegedly handing her $300 payments, according to the testimony. Tonight, 24 hours after that high-stakes video call between President Biden and Vladimir Putin, what Putin is now signaling. Ian Pannell from Ukraine again tonight.
Tonight, President Biden saying Russian President Putin, quote, got the message after their video call on Ukraine.
I made it very clear. If, in fact, he invades Ukraine, there will be severe consequences.
ABC News tonight given exclusive access to Ukrainian forces training with U.S.-supplied Javelin anti-tank missiles. This is part of what Vladimir Putin means by a red line, what he sees as America's, NATO's growing involvement in Ukraine. Tensions still high, as we saw on the front lines, where Ukrainian forces are fighting with Russian-backed rebels.
You hear the sound of rapid automatic gunfire there. They're telling us to go.
We were so close to the front, you could only whisper.
The Russian-backed separatists are literally about 50 yards, maybe less, just on the other side there.
And beyond those lines, at the border, as many as 100,000 Russian troops are now massed.
By Friday, Biden hopes to announce a higher-level meeting with some NATO allies and Russia to discuss the Kremlin's concerns, perhaps offering a way out of this crisis. David?
All right, Ian Pannell again tonight. Ian, thank you. And when we come back here, the deadly crash into the water near Niagara Falls, the images tonight, and Hillary Clinton breaking down while doing something she's never done before.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, authorities are investigating the deadly crash into the water near Niagara Falls, a car plunging into the Niagara River about 50 yards from the edge of the falls. A rescuer lowered to pull out the driver. She did not survive. They believe tonight bad weather might have been a factor. To the index tonight, and Hillary Clinton, for the first time, reading the speech she hoped to deliver had she won the 2016 presidential election.
My fellow Americans, today you sent a message to the whole world. So I've never read it before.
This is part of the Masterclass online series. Mrs. Clinton reveals what she had hoped to say to boys and girls about history made and says she was going to talk about her late mother, Dorothy, who had been abandoned by her own parents. She'd been put on a train to California just a girl, and she ended up working as a housemaid.
I think about my mother every day. Sometimes I think about her on that train. I dream of going up to her.
and sitting down next to her, taking her in my arms and saying, look at me, listen to me. You will survive. You will have a good family of your own and three children. And as hard as it might be to imagine, your daughter will grow up and become the President of the United States.
Mrs. Clinton's words and her raw emotion there made news as soon as this was released today. She said there were tough days at the end of that campaign, but still believed she would pull through. Now to the news on Tiger Woods tonight. He begins his comeback in Orlando next week. He will play with his 12-year-old son, Charlie, of course, in the PNC Championship. Woods competing for the first time since nearly losing his leg in that devastating crash back in February. Finally, our Made in America Christmas, from wrapping paper to a cup of tea. Tonight, our Made in America Christmas is back, and those old home movies. And it seemed a lost tradition, but no more. Gifts Made in America, now in our 10th year here. In Mount Vernon, Washington, the company Rapaly, printing holiday wrapping paper, the red and green, two-sided, Peace on Earth, written right there.
Aloha, David.
Founder Sarah Smith, born and raised in Hawaii. And what's so special about this wrapping paper?
Over the holidays, millions and millions of pounds of wrapping paper are going to end up in our landfills.
Most wrapping paper we can't recycle. So Sarah had an idea, using the paper used for newspaper and local printing presses.
The result is a wrapping paper that is compostable, as easy to recycle as your daily newspaper. It looks beautiful, and it's 100% made in America.
Printing 8 tons of gift wrap this season. New hires planned in the new year. And in California, the company Tea Drops. No longer dangling from that tag. Pour the hot water, add the tea drop, and stir. It dissolves in your cup.
Hi, David.
Founder and CEO Sashi Chandran.
These tea drops are manufactured right here in the U.S.
7 million tea drops a year. Partnering with the nonprofit Thirst Project, building clean water wells around the world.
Every box of tea we sell, we donate enough to supply clean water to those in need. So far, we've built 4 water wells. Happy holidays.
Keep your ideas coming. Good night.